All right, well, welcome back to the Faith Together podcast, everybody. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined here with my co-host, Leon. Hi, Leon.
Hello, Lindsay. Man, I am really excited about the series we just completed.
It was a wonderful series. There was so much to it.
Yeah, and I'm hoping it really lays a foundation for the things that are going to be coming in the future.
Yes, absolutely. If you haven't had a chance to listen to our Moving Forward by Looking Back series, we highly recommend that you do so. We had a wonderful guest, Dr. Frisius, who joined us and shared with us a little bit of some church history takeaways and how the ancient practices of the early church can tie into our practices today of sharing faith together. And so it was a great series, and I hope that you'll join us. And if you did join us for that, we're so glad that you've come back today as we kick off a brand new series, Leon.
Yeah, and we've been at this long enough now, Lindsay. I thought maybe before we jump into our new series, introduce it, that we could maybe do a little update of where we've been.
Oh, I love that. I think that's a great idea.
If you've been following us, you know that this podcast started as a dream after we received a nice grant from the Lilly Endowment. And part of that grant, or the focus of that grant really, was to research ways that we can help parents pass their faith on to their kids, knowing that's a critical element in the life of the church and helping that we need to pass our faith to our children. And so we began this journey. And the journey started really with the podcast after we did a bunch of research.
Yeah.
And the next phase of that journey is going to be developing some curriculum that will be available through our website that will be free to anybody who wants to use it. And we're really excited about that. That's going to actually get started in the, well, it already has gotten started.
Yeah.
I've got the first 8 lessons written by Dr. Frisius, who is with us for our last series. And we're going to continue building a repertoire of curriculum that will help us as we begin this journey. So let me give you some stats. Are you into stats, Lindsay?
Yeah, I want to pause for a second, Leon, because you said the word journey, and I think that is such a perfect word to describe this whole process, that we've been on a journey here on the podcast, learning and growing together, but the project for the center keeps, you know, developing, and who knows where God's going to lead next? That's really exciting.
That's right. So the Center for Faith and Family is what this all comes from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that center has been funded by Lilly Endowment. When we're very grateful to them for trusting us that we would do good work with the money that they have given us in a grant.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we've got our podcast on quite a few different platforms. And we're kind of getting out there, which I'm real thrilled by. So we currently on Facebook have 150 followers.
Yay!
So I think that's pretty good. I'm excited about that. And through Facebook, we have reached 9,500 people.
Wow!
With at least unique clicks on the Facebook page. So that's really, really cool. And then our YouTube channel's brand new.
It is.
And so we've already got 35 unique viewers there and 455 people that have kind of seen it as they've maneuvered through YouTube. I have no idea how they calculate all that stuff, but I'm going to trust them that that's correct. And then to our website, we've had 440 unique visitors to our website, which is really, really cool.
That's fantastic.
So it sounds like that the word is getting out, and I'm just grateful for that.
Absolutely.
That we could be a part of helping people discover how to pass their faith to their kids.
Yeah. And it's just not you and I. There's a whole team behind everything that's happening
Absolutely.
For the center. And just so grateful for each of those that have been alongside.
Many are my colleagues, and I'm very grateful for the work that they have put in to help make this a success.
Yeah. Well, well done, Leon, but we're just getting started, and it's just a joy to be a part of this, and it's a joy to be a part of each of your lives and get a chance to sit down and just share about faith, about the Lord, and about what we're learning together so that we can continue to have faith conversations with the kids we love so much.
Yeah, and up to this point, we have kind of been laying a foundation. So early on in our podcast, we talked about why we're doing all of this. And then we talked about the importance of healthy parents in passing faith. That's what all the research tells us. So we did a 4-week series on that.
Yeah,
back
which
in, I think, November, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yep. It would have been in November. And I believe that series has been our most popular one so far. Because wow. It really resonated with a lot of people.
That's great.
Yeah.
And then you and I got to do something that we just love doing, and that's celebrating Advent.
Oh, yes. That
and
was
we
wonderful.
Did a 5-week Advent series, and we had some families in with us, and that was a lot of fun.
It was.
And then our last series, as you mentioned already, was with Dr. Freesius, and we took this approach of moving forward by looking back. So there were some things we felt like were happening in the days of the early church that they did to make sure that their faith continued through the next generations. And our goal was to figure out what we could learn from them that would apply in our world today.
Yeah. And that series really tees us up to this next one, which is titled Living Out the Shema.
The Shema?
The Shema.
What a strange word. Yeah, so what we're doing here is we're actually going to go back and rehearse a little bit of what we talked at the very beginning of our podcast, talking about what Deuteronomy has to say about passing faith to your children. So let's do a little rehearsal of that, can we?
Let's do it.
Okay, so the word Shema is a Hebrew word, and it is the word to listen or to hear. And for in most contexts, as it is in the text that we're going to look at today, it's more than just listening with your ears, but hearing kind of with your heart, mm-hmm. putting into practice those things that you are hearing. In fact, it's kind of a Hebrew understanding that if you are taught something and don't live it out, then you never learned it,
mm-hmm.
which is a little different than what we're used to in the world that you and I live in.
Right. Right.
Right. So in our world, you can learn something and in no way apply it to your life and still say, I learned it. I just don't put it to practice. And mm-hmm. The ancient Hebrew people would say, you know, that's kind of a ridiculous way of thinking.
Yeah.
Why would you learn something if you're not going to live it?
Yeah. So a little bit more of like rather than just memorizing information for information's sake, they take an approach of really meditating on it, reflecting on it, putting it into practice, just as you said.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm convinced, Lindsay, that parents want nothing more for their kids than to learn to love God. And that's what our podcast is about. And that's what this text is about that we're going to look at today. It's from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. A lot of people that are listening are familiar with this particular text. It's pretty significant. Let me give a little bit of background. So the book of Deuteronomy is kind of one of those books we usually don't spend a lot of time in. Not one of the most exciting books of the Bible as far as a story goes and those kinds of things. But it is critical. And it is a book that is in many ways understood as the last words of Moses. The last words that he would have left with the children of Israel before they get ready to cross the Jordan River and go into the Promised Land. So these are things that would have been the most urgent, most important things on Moses' mind that he wants to make sure before he goes, because he knows he's not going to go with them yeah. across the Jordan, that they will not forget. So he kind of rehearses their story a bit, and then he challenges them with certain ways that they are to live when they go into the Promised Land.
Yeah, and I love Deuteronomy for all of those reasons. I think it's a book that reminds us of the power of the story of God and what we're a part of and not forgetting who we are.
Yeah, yeah. It's good.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So actually, Lindsay, I'm going to ask you
sure.
if you'll read the text.
Yeah.
So it's Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, and I'll have you read it from the NIV.
Okay. Okay. Great. Says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates.
Great text. Mm-hmm. So there's lots, this thing's loaded.
It
and
is.
The truth is we could spend multiple podcasts probably talking about it, but there's some things I just want to highlight that are helpful for us. So there's a nice progression in this text if you follow it. So hear or listen, which is where we get the word Shema from.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord, our God, the Lord is one, and we are to love God with everything within us. And so Moses is really setting them up. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Everything in your being should love God. And then you are to take those commandments and put them on your heart so that you are living them, right?
Yeah.
And I like what how the message says this. The message says, write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you and then get them inside your children.
I like that too.
Right? So love that. And so let me just go through a few things that we can learn from the Shema. So the command is that it's to be on your heart. And so one of the things that we learn before we ever get to the point of passing it to our children is it has to start with us.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It does.
And so God must be of all importance to us as parents. If God is not the most important thing in our lives, then it's not going to be the most important thing in the lives of our children.
Right.
So I did a little study here on the word you, and you'll notice in this text, you are to do this, you are to do that, you are to do this, you are to do that kind of thing right there.
I noticed you highlighted that.
Yeah. And the you here is in Hebrew, you can be plural, as it is in English, or it can be singular, as it is in English.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's singular,
okay.
Which means it's speaking to people. But part of the debate among scholars on this is you can also be singular when it's referring to an assembly. So this is likely to be seen as a group of people that Moses is talking to, and he's talking to them in the singular as a group.
Yes.
And then within that group, he's talking to the singular of the individual.
Oh, okay.
Right? So this is a communal command as well as an individual command, which I think is pretty important for us to understand. So we are to love God with all of our hearts. It's to be embedded in who we are. And then the next phrase is that we are to teach it to our children. I like what the RSV, the Revised Standard Version, says here. And it says you are to teach it to your children diligently.
That's a really good word. Yeah.
Diligently. So diligently. And so with intention, with purpose, not by accident, you know, all of those kinds of descriptors. And so how are you to do that might be the next question if we were there asking this of Moses, and Moses would say, I've got a great answer for you. Here it is. Talk about it when you sit at home, when you walk along the road,
mm-hmm.
when you are at home, and when you're
away from home.
Away from home, right. Yeah. Exactly right. And so this is actually we're going to use this particular line, Lindsay, to kind of structure our series that we're getting ready to do, or
okay.
that we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Actually, right. So the series is Living Out the Shema.
Yes.
So we're going to look at living out the Shema at home
mm-hmm.
and living out the Shema away from home.
Okay.
And what, so each episode in the series will focus on a different way mm-hmm. that as families, we can begin living this out.
Yeah. I love that. Some practical takeaways that we can take this text into our everyday lives with us.
So the next line is, so you are to do it as you sit at home and as you're along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. These are all kind of informal times. And you'll notice that this is occurring kind of as you're just living life together.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back to the message version of this particular verse. And it says, talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. It's just helping us to understand that this is something we're doing all of the time. And it's informal, which means a lot of it is happening as life is being lived together.
Absolutely. I also love that it reminds us, you know, every time of the day is a time of the day that God can intervene, that he can be present with us. I think sometimes we can compartmentalize our lives, right? Like, okay, I'm at church on Sundays and this is my time with God, or we're praying over our meal. That's my time with God, you know, but it's reminding us that God wants to be present in every moment of our days.
Yeah, that's very good and very true.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It just gives me hope, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So all the time, and we're going to talk about what some of those all the times look like.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Over the next several weeks. So I'm excited about where that's going to lead us. The next phrase in this wonderful text is tie them as symbols on your hands and on your foreheads, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And over time, this, especially as we move into the New Testament, this text was taken literally. Are you familiar with a phylactery?
I remember you sharing about it here on the podcast, but I hadn't heard of it until then.
Yeah, so for Orthodox Jews generally, it is a box that they wear on their forehead or on their arm that they tie there, and it has a little lid on it, and inside it would be a small little scroll, oftentimes this text.
Okay.
As a reminder, if it is on you, the implication is then you'll live it, that you don't forget it because it's right there literally on your body. And so I don't know that this needs to be taken literally in that sense for us and for our kids, but this idea of immersion, that our faith, that our children are immersed by our faith. Maybe that's a better way to say it. And that as we live out our lives before them, they are beginning to sense and get a feel for what it means to be a follower of Jesus.
Absolutely. And as you begin to just explore what, you know, the Lord is up to in your everyday life, and you begin to see his presence, his guidance, you know, it gives us a new perspective, I think, Leon.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, we begin to see differently. We begin to experience life differently when we have eyes open for him at work.
Yeah. And I think one of the things, if I were to try to summarize what Moses was trying to say to them, is that we are to let the message of God guide our everyday lives and to be intentional about the things that we're doing as we live out our lives, because our kids are watching us and they learn how to be a follower of Jesus by watching us be a follower of Jesus.
Absolutely. And I love how Jesus, he lived that way. You know, he many times was not formally, there were times he formally taught to the crowds, but many times he didn't, right, Leon?
Yeah, no, that's really a good point. We have him in the temple reading from the prophet Isaiah. We have him on the mountain preaching to the crowds and those kinds of things. But, you know, when you begin to name the times in Jesus' life from the Gospels, where we see a formal presentation by Jesus of whatever it is he's teaching, they're pretty few. Then we begin thinking about, well, what are all the times that he taught when life was just being lived, when he stops by the side of the road to talk to someone, or he meets with the disciples in upper room, or he meets a woman at a well,
or says, who just pulled on my cloak?
Right. I mean, just these everyday living moments. So I think there's a lot for us to learn from that, that the methodology that Jesus used was what we would call informal teaching or informal learning. As life is being lived. And as parents, we know that. We see our kids say things that we say, things that we do. Sometimes it scares us a bit. But that's how our kids learn. And there are plenty of spiritual development leaders in the church throughout history who have said that faith is more passed on by watching and learning than it is by sitting them down and telling them the way it is.
It's so true. And I think one of the informal ways that we see Jesus lead and guide and give us a model to follow by is in storytelling. I mean, Jesus is just a master storyteller, Leon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the great thing about it is he makes up most of the stories.
He does. Yes,
so,
he does.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. But you see him sharing his parables over and over to teach the people the truths that they need to hear.
Right.
And he shares, you know, in that story, in those stories, he gives truths for them to grasp on. He contextualizes it to where they are, so that they can see and then they can hear what it means to follow him with their whole lives. And so today we're really looking forward to living out the Shema by focusing on what it means to be storytellers.
Yeah.
So
this can be scary.
It can.
Because parents are like, oh, wait a minute. You're going to ask me to start telling stories to my kids. I don't know if I know any stories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I may know some, but I don't know very many. And I just, my response to that is our life is a story.
That's right.
We are story people. Mm-hmm. This is what we do when we're together. We tell stories. It's what we do over lunch. It's what we do when we're hanging out with people, our friends and others. We tell stories.
It's absolutely true. And, you know, the word of God, scripture tells us how important this is. In Psalm 78, you may have remembered reading this together when we started out the podcast in one of our earlier episodes, but I just want to read it for you again today. Psalm 78 says this, "My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands." So right there, Leon, is just such an amazing example and just invitation for all of us to participate in telling the story of God to those around us, especially to the next generation, to the kids that are with us and in our spheres of influence. And I know that, as you said, Leon, we are story-formed people. We are part of the story of God together.
Yeah.
And I tell the kids in our ministry at church many times, I say, we are all part of the story of God. It's true, and it's to be continued because it continues on and on. We can reflect on all the true things that happened, you know, but then we can know that we get to be a part of it now.
Right.
We're invited to be a part of that.
Yeah, story has such power. One example of this might be if we think about maybe the last several times we've been in church, and I don't know if this ever happens to any of you who are listening, but it happens to me for sure, and that is I'm sitting in a service, and my mind takes me someplace for a little while, and I come back and realize I've missed the last 10 minutes or something. But oftentimes the thing that brings me back is a story.
Mm.
Someone starts telling a story.
Interesting.
And then all of a sudden it just catches my attention. There's something about stories that just draw us in.
Mm-hmm.
And stories have the ability to teach at multiple levels at the same time. So when I hear a story and someone with me hears a story, the part that stands out to us might be different. The thing that touches us might be different. And people like organizations like Pixar and Disney, they have figured this out.
Absolutely.
So we sit down with our kids and we watch one of those movies and we think, oh, we're going to watch this movie so that our kids will enjoy it. And then before we know it, we're caught up in the story.
Oh yeah, we can't,
right?
We can't stop watching.
That's right.
We've got to know how it ends.
And there are things in the story that are for us as adults that go right over the heads of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things in the stories that are specifically for the kids. but we enjoy it too.
Mm-hmm.
And so stories have this unique way of connecting truth at multiple levels.
Mm-hmm. Connecting truth and connecting one another, connecting us to one another.
Right.
In really special ways. I think about a story that I've just recently heard, Leon. I shared with you that I had the opportunity to go to Children's Pastors Conference a few weeks ago, and there was a storyteller. I would say she's more of a storyteller than a speaker. She just tells the story, and it was riveting. She took five chairs and lined them up on stage and said, I want to show you why it's important to tell your story, why it's important to continue telling the story to children around you. And what she did is she walked through the story of Rahab in the Bible, starting with Rahab in the first chair, going to Boaz in the second chair, and then Obed in the third chair, Jesse in the fourth chair, and David in the fifth chair, and said, just think about Rahab, who had started out with not a very good reputation at all, wasn't following the Lord, but gave her life and her whole family's life to God, and made a courageous decision to obey him and to love him and to serve him. And that story, that choice that she made, affected generations to come.
Yeah.
And she talked about, you know, what chair are you sitting in? Are you a first chair? Because it matters. God can change everything for your family, for your life in one generation by telling the story that he has for you. Maybe you're in the fifth chair and you come from a legacy of God coming through time and time again, and you know those stories. So I just thought it was a really neat thing to, a great visual to have, to think about, you know, the different generations that we're a part of and how we're all part of those stories.
That reminds me that as I think about those stories being told.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in that fifth chair with David, and he's maybe rehearsing with his kids about that storyline
mm-hmm.
and those that came before him. I think one of the things that maybe we can learn from that is the importance of telling our story and our family story to our kids.
Yes.
I was sitting and thinking today, how good of a job have I done telling my children, who are now all adults, the story of my life, how mm-hmm. I got here,
mm-hmm.
The hardships that I dealt with when I was younger, and how God intervened, and when I first came to the Lord, and the struggle with my responding to my call into ministry and not really wanting to do that, and the journey that took me on. It's kind of inspired me to think, okay, so the next time I'm with them, I need to probably tell them that story, make sure they know. Now, if they say, oh, Dad, we've heard this 100 times, then I'm good with that.
Yeah.
But maybe not. Maybe they haven't. And certainly I want my grandkids to know those stories.
Right, right. And when we model telling our story, then suddenly kids realize, oh, I have a story and I can tell a story too. You know, kids are amazing at telling stories.
Yes.
It's kind of this innate ability that they have. And so when you start giving them even more confidence and more context in telling story, it really builds their confidence and their ability in their hearts to continue to share what God's doing in their lives, the to be continued.
Right. And one of those intentional things that we can do as they share those stories is to help them see that as a part of the story of God.
Yes.
This big, what we call meta narrative, the big story.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's a mistake that much of our scripture is story. It's that way on purpose so that we can see that we are a part of that ongoing story.
Yeah, absolutely. So Leon, as we wrap up our conversation today about living out the Shema, specifically with storytelling, I just had a few practical takeaways that came to my mind as we were preparing for this episode that I wanted to share with everybody. It's a book called Playing for Keeps, 6 Things Every Kid Needs. And we can put this on our website if you're interested in finding out more. But there's a chapter just on stories and why they matter. And this has been a resource that's just been super helpful to me over the last few years. And specifically, this chapter talks about stories and that kids need stories from three places. The first, it says kids need stories from grandparents, because grandparents build relational history in telling our stories, and it builds an identity for children to hear their family history and all that God has done and what they're a part of, which is exactly what you were just mentioning, Leon.
With my own grandkids. Yeah.
So there you go. You want to tell your story to your grandkids. If you don't have grandkids yet, you know, continue to tell your story to the kids around you. You don't have to be their actual grandparent. It's just about telling the story of who God is and them to see that happening ahead of them. And then there was another couple takeaways. The second one was kids need fictional stories. That it's important that we do read with our kids, because they could very much miss out on some cultural history, whether it's our own culture or it's another culture that we want to learn about. But those things really widen their minds and their imaginations to know the values that we see that are important as part of our culture. And so giving kids fictional stories. And then finally, of course, giving kids Bible stories, seeing the big story of God in the meta narrative. And so those are three things I thought were really helpful for telling stories.
That's good. And you mentioned the meta narrative. Let me just tag onto that a little bit. It would be really great if we were doing this on a regular basis of reading biblical stories to our kids, that we did them kind of in order.
Yes.
So they see this ongoing story.
Yes.
And you mentioned a great storybook Bible.
Yeah.
A time back that's on our website, right? The resources on our website. You want to mention that again?
Yeah. So the Jesus Storybook Bible is a wonderful resource for, it's primarily geared towards more early elementary preschool age children. However, I think adults can read it and grasp so much from it.
It's very well done.
It is.
I'm generally not a huge fan of storybook Bibles because I think they tend to distort the story a little bit unintentionally, but some of these stories are difficult to express. And so this particular storybook Bible, I think, does an excellent job.
It really does. So it's a great one to read together. And it follows, of course, chronologically, which is so important for kids to be able to sequentially put together God at work.
Yeah, that's good. Well, as we start to wrap this up, it dawned on me that there were a couple updates that we were doing early in the podcast today that I neglected to mention. So let me do it here at the end. And the first of those is our YouTube channel. We mentioned that we have one. It's new. And it is, you can find it on YouTube under Center for Faith and Family. And we would just ask, if you're kind of following us, that you would start doing that through the YouTube channel and then subscribe, because that helps us kind of get the word out through those subscriptions. So if you would do that for us, that would be wonderful. We would be honored by that. And then, Lindsay, there is a surprise announcement coming soon.
Oh.
I'm not going to mention it today, but maybe in about 3 or 4 more weeks, we'll be ready to make a surprise announcement about something that we're going to be doing that people might really enjoy. At least we hope you will. So along with that, we are putting up a fun little survey on our website. And the website is centerff.com, and that stands for Center for Faith and Family. So centerff.com. And there's going to be a fun little quiz on there. And I think we're probably going to do a giveaway with that. And we'll announce that next week when we have more details about that. But would love for you to get involved. Please share. If you're on Facebook and you see one of our podcast posts on there, if you'll share that with your friends, anything you can do to get the word out at your church, if you want to statements, if you want to email us through the website, then we even have some posters that we can send you that you can post up at your church so that
graphics
families will
that
know.
Can go right up on the screen
that's
and share
right.
about what this podcast is for and all that's to come.
Yeah, so we'd love to hear from you. Please contact us through the website. That'd be a great place for us to get that information. There's places there where you can communicate with us. Again, it's centerff.com. So, wow, that was fun.
It was.
And I'm excited where we're going as we continue our series on living out the Shema.
Yes. Don't forget to tell your story this week.
Yes,
share those stories.
Absolutely. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and give you peace. You've been listening to the Faith Together podcast from the Center for Faith and Family at Olivet Nazarene University. Sign up for additional resources at centerff.com. When building faith, we are better together.